Well, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. This being the Blackhawks station, it is a long overdue pleasure to have sitting next to me Brian Smith, one of Chicago's greatest writers, one of the nation's greatest writers. Don't be embarrassed by that. Any of you who are Hawks fan have certainly heard of, if not read yet, The Breakaway, the inside story of the Wirtz family business and the Chicago Blackhawks. I love this book, even though I have never seen an entire hockey game. I mean, I admitted that in print and even told Rocky Wirtz that. And he goes, well, you got to come to a game. I'm never going to a game because it's like a badge of honor for me. Brian, as you know, because I wrote about this in July when I was somehow able to get a copy of it before anybody else, I love this book, and this is quite an accomplishment and a credit to you, not only as a writer, but this is an unbelievably, if you just know the Wirtz family through Rocky, who is this ebullient, wonderful guy who waves at people who scream at him on the street, this grew out of a 2008 profile you did of Rocky before the Hawks had any banners had been hung. In some ways, this must have been shocking to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words.
Oh, and you know how much I love this.
Yeah,
book.
And it's a delight to be here, and I'm really glad to hear you say that even though, you know, you're not, admittedly, not a big hockey fan.
I'm actually proudly not
proudly,
a
right.
I just admit it. I'm proud of it. No.
There's some TV shows I'm very proud that I've never seen an episode of. But that you still found the story compelling, which means a lot to me, because even though the backdrop of the book is the Blackhawks, and I think you said in your review, and rightly so, there's plenty of hockey for any diehard fan.
I mean, the introduction's by Tony Esposito, for God's sake. Even I know who he is.
Yeah, right.
And there is more than enough hockey, and especially, you know, it's not deep into the history of hockey, though the 60s team, Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita, all those guys, is fascinating. What Rocky Wirtz did to resurrect this team, as you write in the book, and I had either forgotten or never knew, when he took this team over, it had recently been ranked the worst franchise in all of sports, not all of hockey,
right,
in all of sports. That was a result of Rocky's father, Bill, who is one of the he's Shakespearean in some way, Brian.
He really is, and their relationship is, and Rocky's relationship with his brother, Peter, which we can talk about in a second. But
sure.
Yeah, this the story grew out of, as you said, a magazine piece that I'd done on Rocky, and this was the year before the first cup, or a couple of years before, when it was clear that the things Rocky was doing to turn the team around were working. But and then, so as each championship came, and, you know, 3 in 7 years was, you know, quite remarkable, 10, 13, and 2015, it was...
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned it. ESPN, when Rocky took the team, had called it the worst team in franchise in all of sports. By the end of that run, Forbes magazine called it the greatest turnaround in sports business history.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about it, and another thing about the book, which is called The Breakaway, the inside story of the Wirtz family business and the Chicago Blackhawks, heretofore referred to simply as The Breakaway, easier to Google for you people, is that he gives such credit. Rocky is the most, comes out of the book, I know him a little, but he comes out of the book as one of the most self-effacing human beings I know. He credits. He says, I'm not the hero of this story. John McDonough, who he hired from the Cubs, is the hero of it. Is he really that self-effacing, Brian? You know him as well as anybody.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, that's not to say he's not a tough-as-nails businessman.
Oh, he has
because,
to be,
but
sure.
Because he is. But he gives the credit to the players.
Yep.
And the coach, and of course, as you said, John McDonough, who rightfully, you know, deserves it as sort of the architect of this whole story. But, you know, what Rocky does give himself credit for is hiring John McDonough. I think he said it's the best sales job he's ever done.
Well, and you detail it really well in the book. I mean, I think most people, maybe if you're an insane hockey fan, you know how that all played out. But the revelations in the book about how Rocky very casually was able to hire McDonough is fascinating. We're going to just keep Brian here all the way till a quarter two. I will tell you this, so please stay tuned. Chicago's most complete local election coverage, Decision 2018, the races, the results, the reaction. Tuesday at 7, vote, please. Then watch your vote count on Chicago's very own WGN-TV. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Cogan. I'm talking to Brian Smith, the author of The Breakaway, which is the inside story of the Chicago Blackhawks, which you all listen to on this very station, but also the Wirtz family, which is, you know, Chicago is noted for fame, you know, the Field family, the Armour family, the Swift family, the Pullmans. The Wirtz family is absolutely as interesting as any of the more famous families. Arthur Wirtz, born in 1901, if memory serves, son of a cop. This guy, and you detail it so compellingly, Brian Smith, in this book, he was a genius. I don't throw that word around.
Yeah, he really was. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't know much about where the Wirtz fortune came from, or, you know, where is this old money? Did they inherit
the
wealth?
From the stockyards?
Yeah.
Nobody does know. Very few people know.
So what I did was, because the story was so fascinating, is I went back and found that the first Wirtz to come over from Luxembourg took a steamer. He was a, dirt poor farmer, found some farmland in Illinois that sort of was similar to the kind of farm he farmed in Luxembourg, started a little working farm that is now, it's still there, and it's still owned by the Wirtz
family,
and it's now a beautiful, really estate.
I can only imagine.
But there's also a lot of the original buildings there. So he was poor. The Wirtzes were very active. It's out, there are places out near Mundelein, and they were very active in the community and politics. But so along comes a cop who wanted to go from the farm into the city, and he had Arthur Wirtz. So Arthur is really the author of the empire.
Yeah.
And you know, where he got this aggressive business brilliance, really, who knows, but he had it. And he did make his fortune and started to make the Wirtz family fortune in the Depression. He was cash rich at a time where everyone was losing everything in the stock market. So he had money to buy. He was in real estate, and he partnered up with a guy, and they started buying arenas. They bought the Chicago Stadium for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And Madison Square Garden, Detroit, St. Louis. And suddenly, Arthur has these big arenas and realizes, oh my God, I've got to fill them with something.
What he did was create, basically, I have to ask you a question that's not really answered in the book. His business partner, too, is a guy named James Norris, who was faded from history, too.
Another character
who just faded from history. So he needed to fill these huge stadiums. I mean, he could have held on to them to the 40s and then sold them, but he wanted to fill them and make money and have cash flow. Sonia Henie, whose name may ring a bell, she was a five-time or something Olympic skating champion. He named a bar or barroom after her. He seems, Arthur Wirtz, in your book, to have a loving, good relationship with his wife. Was he in love with Sonia Henie? Who did fill these stadiums across the country?
Oh, there's no doubt. Well, first, let me say, Arthur Wirtz is such a character in his own right. He could make a book, He's sort of faded from kind of the prominent, you know, Chicago names in history. And just a little bit about him. Rocky's father, Bill, was known for being an intimidating guy.
Right.
A mean cuss, really. And Rocky said, my grandfather, Arthur, made Bill look like a pussycat. Arthur was something 6'4", 280, huge, intimidating, glowering figure, the most intimidating man Rocky said he'd ever met. So he, so Arthur finds this skater. You know, Sonia Henie was a big name. She had won gold medals and was a 10-time world champion. And but Arthur saw something else. He took her and built around her like a Ziegfeld Follies show that sold arenas out. I mean, he turned her into a rock star.
Oh, some of the figures you have in the book, The Breakaway, it's astonishing.
Crazy. Millions and millions of dollars. She was making money hand over fist. He was. You know, so that was one of his big hits. And out of that grew, you know, Holiday on Ice, the things we see now, Icecapades, the Disney ice shows. They all go back to Arthur.
And his inspired idea.
Yeah, and his inspired idea. Meanwhile, he has the Blackhawks, as you know, he bought Chicago Stadium. He didn't own them yet, but he, you know, they were his tenant. So he's trying to turn them around from a kind of a really sad sack sort of team. They're, you know, one of the original six hockey teams, but they just weren't doing well. And he found one other thing that really brought in the dough, and that was boxing. It was called prize fighting back then.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it was like the NFL is today. It was, you know.
Well, that was also a means, though. It was also a means to fill his arenas.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're looking for an example of how tough Arthur Wirtz may have been, the boxing enterprise in those days was run by, you know, cigar-chomping, really tough guys with, you know, with guns in their waistband.
Oh, yeah. You know, they were mob ties, no doubt about it. If you ever want to see a movie about that era, there's a Humphrey Bogart movie called The Harder They Fall. And it's set right in that era and in Chicago, partly. But and Arthur and his partner, Pop Norris, who is also a character, they ruled prize fighting to the extent that the Fed stepped in and tried and had to break them up for being a monopoly.
I know.
It was insane. I mean, they had something like 95% of the prize fights in the country.
It was something. They formed this thing called the International Boxing Club that held bouts in the arenas. Then they produced the nationally syndicated television shows that featured those fights. And almost virtually all championship matches in the 1950s.
Yeah, and it's everything that you know, kind of heard rumors about with boxing. There was, there was these mobsters that were coming in and trying to muscle their way in. There were patsies, you know, fall guys. And if you wanted a prize fight, you had to kiss Arthur's ring, or you could forget about it.
They called him, and it's a wonderful phrase, very alliterative, the Baron of the Bottom Line.
Yeah.
I came away from your book, The Breakaway, with great, he may have been very intimidating, but I came away with an astonishing amount of admiration for this guy.
Oh, yeah. He knew what he was doing. I mean, one of the interesting stories, I think, in the book is I recount a trip into Arthur's office. Now, Arthur had a specially built round table, and Arthur and the round table, which makes him King Arthur.
Yes.
You would come into his office, and he would play these psychological games with you. Rocky told me about this because he got the treatment.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have the air conditioner down to like 50 and the seat lower than his. And he would immediately say, when you came in, he'd keep you, you know, waiting, and then you'd come in and he'd say, just a second, I need to make a few phone calls. He'd make 15 or 20, and the person's, you know, freezing and sitting there. And by the time Arthur looked at you, and he would hold his pencil with the pointed end of it at and point it at your face, you were
ready to jump out the window.
These guys would come in brimming with confidence and slink out, you know. But the real key to Arthur in this book and in this story is Arthur set in motion the plan of succession.
Unbelievable.
That led to Rocky getting the team and not his brother Peter. And that created much of this Shakespearean drama.
Well, much, you know, as I said in a story I wrote about it, it's like a Eugene O'Neill play, but he, absolutely. I mean, that's the genius of Arthur Wirtz, too. It was an absolutely, I think that Bill Wirtz wanted Peter to run the team.
Absolutely.
And Rocky was out dealing with the liquor business, at which Arthur was a genius, and all of a sudden, Rocky's got the team.
Yeah.
One of the really, if not tragic, things about the book is when you have Rocky talking about the fact that his father saw too much of his grandfather, that Bill in Rocky saw too much of Arthur Wirtz, and that terrified him.
Yeah.
And that was the cause of the real serious problem between father and son.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's this sort of, it was, you know, kind of Cain and Abel, Shakespearean brother against brother. And, Arthur had set it up so that the oldest son inherited the chairmanship of everything.
Everything.
And that meant Rocky all his life. But Rocky told me, and Rocky and his father clashed so violently, almost to the point of coming to physical blows. And there's, you know, in the book, I recount that, you know, Bill sent Rocky's kids, his own grandchildren, a letter saying, don't bother to show up for Thanksgiving.
I'll send you your Christmas presents. That's just so cruel.
And then all but excommunicated Rocky, and it was because Bill could not stand anyone questioning him.
Yeah.
And if you dared, you were persona non grata, and no one did except Rocky.
Rocky.
And so Bill basically cut him out of the Blackhawks, and Rocky said, fine.
Yeah.
I'll go take care of the liquor business. And Peter ran, you know, helped run the team.
Hawks, sure.
He didn't run the team.
But also run it into the ground.
Yeah,
Your description of Brian Smith in The Breakaway, of what those offices, those Blackhawk offices were like when Rocky finally got the chance to come in and explore. It sounds like a mental institution.
Yeah, it was quite something. Now, you have to remember, Bill died in 2007.
Right.
Just before the season started. And this was when the Great Recession was hitting.
Yeah, the real estate, really hard.
America's economy was plummeting, hurtling really toward almost to the second Great Depression. And this is the moment when Rocky takes over a team that has 5,000 people coming to a 20,000 arena, and the infrastructure, as you said, the office was empty.
Yeah.
Because Bill had thought he could cut his way to profitability, so he had cut all his staff. They didn't have a sales staff, didn't have a marketing staff.
They had no stamps.
Rocky wanted a bottle of water or some Post-its, and they didn't have a supply closet. One of the phones, you know, your crucial thing is selling season tickets. Well, the phone to call through that number, it rang through to nowhere.
Yeah.
No one picked up on the sales line.
It is a remarkable story on every page. It's one of those books you cannot stop reading. And again, I say, as a Hawks fan or a hockey fan, you will devour it. But as a reader of the family history and Chicago history, you will also devour it. You can go to Brian's website. It's BryrSmith.com. Very easy. He's on Twitter at Book Breakaway, and The Breakaway is at every store you could imagine. We're going to continue this conversation after the news because I want to talk about how surprised and happy Brian Smith must have been when Rocky decided to be as unbelievably frank and truthful as he is in these books. So please stay tuned. Welcome back to After Hours. You've got about 10 more minutes with Brian Smith. You can get his website and figure out all of the places he's going to be signing copies of The Breakaway, which really is, hockey fan or no, man, this is the Christmas gift book. BryrSmith.com. Or you can find him on Twitter at Book Breakaway. You And Rocky would talk over the years since that famous Chicago Magazine profile in 2008 about maybe doing something longer and maybe doing a book.
Yeah.
You, among the writers I most respect, were not about to do a, hey, I'm Rocky Wirtz and I saved the Blackhawks kind of book. That was, you were not at all interested in that. The wonderful thing was neither was he, was he?
Exactly right. He insisted, I mean, he made it. And this is not blowing smoke. I mean, he made it a condition of doing the book. That was his first condition, that this cannot be some Valentine to the glory that is Rocky Wirtz.
Right.
It's got to be real. It's got to be gritty. And it's got to tell the fraught, ugly parts. And I think he knew and instinctively that for the book to have any meaning,
yeah,
and to... really to kind of to set the record straight and to make sure the right people got credit, that it had to be that way. And so when we started to talk, and I mean, we did talk over the years.
Over years, sure.
Yeah, you know, with each championship, we got a little closer. But so when he finally was ready, I mean, he told me some stories that were so intimate and raw and painful, that even I mean, I'm a journalist,
sure,
who's paid to, you know,
dig
out, you know, these kinds of moments. And even I at times was wincing and saying, I mean, are we okay here? And he said, you put it all in. And he didn't, other than a name or two that would have, that people are still around that might have been hurt. He left it all in, and in fact, he, you know, made sure that there were no sort of gushing parts.
You know, when you have a person say in a book, I loved my father, but I didn't like him.
Yeah,
and that is unbelievable honesty, and that is like something that would come out of like 20 years of a psychiatrist's couch.
Oh my God! Yeah.
To say that,
yeah.
You, this could not have been for you, Brian Smith, the easiest writing task, because you're a magazine writer, and it's 5,000 words, 6,000 words, instead of 40 or 50,000 words.
Yeah.
Was it daunting for you? Because it really is a compelling narrative you put together.
Well, thanks. Yeah. A book always is a little bit daunting. The good thing for me was having sort of the narrative arc kind of laid out for me, the architecture of it, which was this turnaround, and also because it's a story about fraught father and son relationships, the natural place to begin it seemed to be the memorial service at the United Center for Bill, which was this agonizing moment where Rocky's brother, Peter, who was a vice president at the time of the Blackhawks, insisted that there be a moment of silence for Bill Wirtz. And
it was not a moment of silence.
No.
It's an unbelievable beginning of
the
book.
Yeah, I mean, those who don't know Bill Wirtz, I mean, he, you know, the team was voted the worst franchise. Bill, I think, was voted one of the worst owners
he
in all sports.
The games were not on television.
Yes.
There were a lot of problems with it. They were bad teams. He didn't invest in the team.
Right.
Describe that.
Yeah.
Describe that evening.
He was defiant about it.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, booed him constantly. And, you know, he would say, they're getting weak. They're not booing as loud. So, a moment of silence. Okay, this is a Saturday night hockey game. People have been drinking beer for a while. The lights go down. What do you think is going to happen for Bill Wirtz? So a spotlight hits Dale Tallon, the general manager at the time. He comes out and starts to talk. And sure enough, I should say, you know, Rocky and his family, his siblings, are up in the one of the owner's suites watching down. And Rocky knows what's about to happen.
Yep.
And the siblings just were in denial or something. So the boos start and they crescendo into this tsunami of roaring boos, drowning out the guy making the remarks as pictures of Bill swirl in the jumbotron. And Rocky looks over, his siblings, his sisters are crying. Peter, his brother, is stoic, you know, stone-faced. And Rocky just kind of shrugged and, you know, what did you expect? So that was the beginning of the book. And then we flashback a little bit and go into some of the history and then trace the turnaround. Now, you know, the turnaround's been written about a lot. And so, you know, there was a danger there that we're going to tread ground, you know, that people are familiar with. But what I found was what appeared to be this sort of fated, almost inevitable, you know, march to these three championships. Oh, he picked all the right players. Sure. You know, he put the games on TV. Anybody would do that. He brought back Esposito and Bobby Hall.
He hired some good young talent. And
right.
Blah,
he got,
blah, blah,
you know, but listen, he got McDonough. That was the sell job of the century, to get pull him from the Cubs to the Blackhawks, the worst team, Blackhawks. And then there were dozens of places, moments, where it all could have gone south. I mean, when Rocky walked into that office the first time, one of the first things he learned was the Blackhawks were $30 million, had lost $30 million cash the year before, and had already run out of payroll. This is 2 weeks into the season. And so this thing threatened to pull down possibly the whole Wirtz empire, because they had to borrow, excuse the pun, but from Peter to pay Paul, borrowed from the other businesses, and in a horrible economy, that wasn't going to last long. So all along, there were these moments, and they just, everything did kind of click in.
Yeah.
But boy, the drama of it, it felt like an adventure story as I was telling it.
And you wrote it that way too, Brian Smith. It is a tremendous credit to you that nothing in this book seems warmed over. I don't care if you read every Blackhawk story for the last 15 years. There's something fresh and alive about this book. Again, it is called The Breakaway, full title, The Inside Story of the Wirtz Family Business and the Chicago Blackhawks, and I will add, and the unbelievably dysfunctional Wirtz family, but compellingly so. You can get it anywhere. Just type in Breakaway and Smith and you'll get it, or you can go to Bryant's website, BryrSmith.com, or on Twitter, Book Breakaway. I don't know what you're going to do next, man, but you better find a very interesting family. You can also read Brian with some regularity in Chicago Magazine. This is a real triumph for you, pal.
Well, thank you.
It really is a real triumph.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. You wrote a good book, and I like to read.
Well, I appreciate it.
Life is as simple as that for me, Brian. As simple as that. Take care. Say hi to your lovely wife.
I will.
Sell a lot of books.
All right. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back in a few minutes.